Hello, this is Joel and
Daniel Young
with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today.
Welcome.
We're teaching on the Bible to help you see the deity of Jesus Christ. We've been doing this for several weeks, and our purpose is to help you see the Bible through Hebrew eyes, to come to a deeper understanding, to have a better revelation, and see the breadth and the depth and the height and the whole scope of the Bible. The Bible tells us that you would know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And so we're doing this as a continuing series. We've been doing this for a number of weeks already, and we're going to continue on teaching you the depth and the breadth of the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, the deity of Jesus Christ, what does it mean when we say deity? It means
that means he is God.
God himself, exactly. And it's very important for people to realize at the onset that we're not talking about three gods, are we?
No.
We're talking about
one.
Just one God who has three personal self-distinctions that he has made, that he is God the Father,
God
the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, don't add that, people. That's not three gods. That's one God. Now, we need to get past that point and take the time you need. I think a good analogy, even from a human standpoint, is to recognize using a man or a woman that a father is both, as actually three things, a father, a husband, and a man. So that person has made three personal self-distinctions within himself, but it's not a third, a third, a third. They are a whole father, they're a whole man, and they're a whole husband, aren't they?
Yes.
So the Trinity is to be understood as triunity, three personal self-distinctions within a Bible. And let me just address the point that some people may say, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, neither is the term theocracy, meaning that God rules, that God is judge. But the concept is there throughout, so you need to understand that clearly. Now, let's go look at a very important prophetic sign for the coming of Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, Yeshayahu Hanavi, Isaiah the prophet, that's Hebrew, Yeshayahu Hanavi, chapter 7, 14, and Daniel's going to read that for all of us.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel.
Powerful. Now, if you look at the context, thank you, Danielle. You look at the context, you start back several verses, back to verse 10. And always look, people, when you read something for context. How is this verse understood in the relativity of the verses surrounding it, in the chapter, in the times? We did a tape series in the past called Learning How to Learn. And we went through 15 points on methodology for learning. And a quick aspect of that is who, what, when, where, why, how, and Yeshua. 7 of those 15. When you read a text, who's involved? Why is this being written? How did it come about? What are the events going on in that time period and transpiring? How is Yeshua known, displayed, or addressed in this text? And then you get the whole sense of what's going on. And that's to be done with anything you read and anything someone says. So that's just a part and parcel of life, applied all the more so to the very Word of God. All right? Now, you go back to 10, and you find the context that, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Ahaz was the king, saying, now God is asking through the prophet, ask a sign. A sign is, in Hebrew, it's ot, like O-T. Ot, O-T. It's usually a special revelatory sign, and it comes from typically from above, from God. Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. So here it tells you it's a sign from the Lord your God. Ask it either to the depth or to the height above. So God is asking him, which we should also understand, whatever God asks, I would rather you understand it as a command, because it's from the very lips of God. Now, God says, you ask me for a special revelatory sign, a special revelation from the depth or the height, everything. In language, when you have something that represents heavens and earth, or the depth and the heavens, two opposites, in language that's called a merism. A combination of two opposites connotes the whole. So God says, ask me anything about anything. Ask me for this special sign. So anything you can ask throughout for this special sign from God. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not test the Lord. That's a bad move, isn't it? God says, do this. And he says, oh, no, no, no. That's not testing the Lord. This would be obedience to the Lord. It's quite the contrary. Continuing, then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it too small a thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? God wants obedience. He doesn't want this kind of response that Ahaz is giving him. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. He was supposed to ask God for a sign and be obedient, which is a function of relationship. And this is not only a man, which a man would be critically important, but a man who has the office of a king and sets a standard for a nation. So the implications are far more profound. So we see that the Lord says, I'm going to do it. I myself will give you a sign. And then Daniel's going to read again 7:14 and see how it fits now with what we just addressed. Please.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel.
Beautiful. So this reference that was given by Daniel is a very clear reference to the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, period. Some people have a problem with a virgin birth. They have no problem at times, though, with God. And I've had this with a person once in the past. This same God who's created the whole universe and all that it contains and every particle and every person and every being, what is it for God to create a virgin birth? It's not a hard thing for him at all, period, especially if by definition you know that God is God. So, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world as a human being, when God took on flesh and dwelt among us, taking the form of a slave, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. Thus, this major prophecy of Isaiah the prophet finds its fulfillment over 700 years later in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in Beit Lechem, house of bread in English, transliterated Bethlehem. His virgin birth in Bethlehem, Israel, as recorded by the Jewish apostle of our Lord, Matatityahu, Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. Now we're in the Brit Chadashah, that's Hebrew, Brit Chadashah, the New Testament or the New Covenant. And Danielle is going to read for us, and I ask you all to turn with her to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Miriam had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, desired to put her away secretly. But when he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to make Miriam as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, or that's in Hebrew for Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin, young woman, will be with child, and she will bear a son. And you shall call his name Immanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph, arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and called his name Yeshua, Jesus. There are 6 references to the Hebrew word Alma. This is critically important because this has been a point of contention for centuries, including at present, with many of my beloved brethren, Jews, and I'm a Jew by race and saved by grace. There's no other way to God, as we all know, including my fellow Jews, than by grace. And the righteous, the just, are saved by faith. There are 6 references to this word Alma, which is translated a virgin or young maiden. And the point of contention is, no, it doesn't mean virgin. There's another word that's used to mean virgin. This word means young maiden. And that's where the argument usually rests, all right? So when you look at it, you say, how do we answer this? Because the virgin birth is critical to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, insofar as God coming into the world, a sinless birth, a necessity, a sinless blood, a sinless atonement, that then pays for all our sins, correct? So if you're not starting with a virgin birth, there's something awry at the very onset of the development of the whole theory and moving toward the expression of a sinless sacrifice, which is necessitated. Now, how do you answer that? You look up every reference to the word in question. If you're studying a topic, people, and you have a word, truth, or peace, or justification, or faith, you look up every single reference to that in the whole Bible. For what purpose? Context. And to have God's understanding of it from beginning to end. You don't want to just take a piece and pull it out, although that can stand on its own, it wasn't given only by itself. So you have to look at all the references for that, which means you're enjoined to study. And if you're a good student, that makes you a disciple or a
Talmid.
Perfect. The Talmid, Daniel said the word in Hebrew, which is?
Learner.
Good. And what is the word again in Hebrew?
Talmid.
Talmid, and in plural?
Talmidim.
Perfect. So we are disciples. And what is a disciple? In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you study it on your own, please. I'll give you a reference. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. In that context, Jesus said to make disciples, Talmidim, of all the nations. That does not mean purely or merely converts. We've taken that often in Christendom, and I'm sad to say it's limited, if it's only done in this context, to mean make converts. That would be analogous to having children. Now that you have a bunch of babies, which is beautiful and critical and necessary, but that wasn't a command of God. The command of God was to make disciples or
learners.
Exactly, learners. People who will learn, like he said, learn to do. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. They are to learn to do and obey everything he said. Now, what does that mean? Do you make no converts? No, but that's implied. It's implicit in the fact that if you have a disciple, that you already have someone who's been converted. For example, if I told you, and you didn't have any children yet, that you need to teach your child all of this here and give them a thorough education, and these are the books, the courses, the languages, the skills they'll need in the world in order to touch lives and transform the world according to God's decree, according to Jesus Christ's decree. That would mean we expect you to have kids. If we're giving you a whole educational profile for a child and telling you this is their training through their whole life, and you say, but I don't have any children, you know, be looked at like, when this is for your children, have children. When God says, this is the children I expect you to bring to me, the fruit, I expect you to populate my kingdom, be fruitful and multiply you, to take the gifts you have and spread them out into the world and bring in, through the dragnet, bring them in, pull them in, make disciples of men. You are fishers of men. You are fishermen. You bring men, being generic for all mankind, bring them all into the kingdom. So when it says to make disciples of all the nations, it does not mean just to go there and bring them to faith. That is a beginning point It is never the end point, never was to be, and never is implied in the language or the context. So is that making more sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's implied in what Jesus said. I expect you to make them learners. They know how to do these things. You teach them all that I've commanded you and teach them to obey. They learn it, they do it, they're obedient to it. And it's implied then what? That they are converts, but you're to make them
Talmidim,
disciples. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Now, in making them Talmidim, one of the things you have to do when we are all learning, or we are disciples and we are learners, we're to learn. So here's a word in question. Wait a minute. It's translated some places virgin, and many Jewish texts you'll never see the word virgin. It'll say young maiden. And they'll say that does not mean virgin. Mm-hmm. There's another Hebrew word, betula, which they say is the word typically for a virgin. And then they go, well, forget the virgin birth. There's nothing to it. Because that's the reference you're using. That's not what that word alma means. Now, what do you do? You scratch your head and show them a Christian commentary? It'll never go anywhere. You have to go back to the text, to the Jew be as a Jew to win a Jew. And if we're sincere scholars and honest disciples, we're going to go look at it ourselves and say, well, I need to do my homework. I can't just rest on someone else's study. I may use them to help me. I can use them to like a crutch to help me get up on my feet or support me or develop. I can't lean on them because I don't know if they're right or wrong. I'm going to have to get out the dictionaries, get out the etymologies. I'm going to have to look up all those verses myself and read them. And then see, God will speak to you as plain as anyone else. He's not a respecter of persons, so he will tell you what it means. Now, for this particular word, it only appears 6 times in the Old Testament, better called the Tanakh. That means from Genesis to Chronicles. And in your English Bibles, I'm sorry, it's wrongly divided in the sense that it's the same text, but they've changed the order. And it goes from Genesis to Malachi. But the original division, which is supported by Bible codes, and we did a book called Behold Yeshua, Come and See, which Danielle will mention to you later, you can look at, procure on our website and also through Amazon.com. It's available. And you understand that these references here, Alma, we're going to address and look this up ourselves. Now, there are 6 references to the Hebrew word Alma, virgin, young maiden, as here in Isaiah 7:14. We're going to do them one at a time, which has here the definite article. In this meaning, it's the virgin or the young woman, Ha'alma. The virgin, Ha'alma, or young maiden. Remez. There are 4 levels of Hebrew study. Pashat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Remez, R-E-M-E-Z, R-E-M-E-Z, Remez, means hint or allusion. You're hinting at something in the Bible. And that means to give you a clearer, deeper, broader understanding of its usage throughout the rest of the Word of God, which will then shed light on how God has employed its usage, period. So when you hear a word, look it up every place you can in the Bible, and you get progressive, more depth, and more shades of meaning, like facets of a gem. And that will give you greater depth and breadth of what it means. Now, Daniel's going to read for us next the reference, or the first reference that sets the tone for this word. What is the word we're studying? If you just joined us, Alma, which means virgin or a young maiden. Exactly. Genesis, that's the first book of the Bible, chapter 24, 43, and the text says,
Behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the girl, Ha'alma, comes forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I beg you, a little water from your water jar to drink.
Good. Here, let's do one more verse for better context, verse 44. And she says to me, Both drink. You and I will also draw for your camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. The master being Abraham, the son being Isaac, there is a mission to go get a bride for Yitzhak, Isaac. That's in Hebrew, Yitzhak. The young woman, the term here that Daniel read earlier is Ha'alma, the young maiden. we see mentioned here earlier in the text. Always read the whole chapter, beloved. All right? Get context. Here, for the purposes of this word study, we'll go back to verses 15 and 16 of this chapter. And Danielle's going to read those for us next. Genesis 24, verses 15 and 16. Please
note carefully that Rebekah, who was very pretty, was a virgin, and no man had known her.
This is verse 16 of chapter 24. Now we see in the same account in verse 43 that the Alma, which meant what? A virgin or a
young maiden.
Perfect. Referred to as obviously Rebekah, who in verse 16 is referred to as a Betula, a virgin. Remember, that's our other word. This Rebekah is a virgin who had no sexual relationships with a man, and no man had known her. Thus, the Alma, the young maiden, and the Betula, the virgin, both refer to the same young woman, Rebekah. Thus, the virgin here was a young maiden, and the young maiden was a virgin. They both describe the same person, right?
Right.
Okay, the next reference is Exodus 2:8. We're looking at Alma, all the references dealing with the young woman or virgin. The context deals with the birth of Moses, who is then sent down the river by his parents at 3 months of age. His sister Miriam is watching from a distance to see what would be done to him. The daughter of Pharaoh has come down to wash herself at the river and saw an ark, this ark among the reeds, holding the baby Moshe, Moses. She sent her young maids to fetch it. She saw the child, had compassion on the child, who was crying, saying, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." We pick up the rest of the account as it bears reference to the Hebrew word Alma, virgin or young maiden, in verse 7 and 8 of Exodus chapter 2. And Danielle is going to read that for us next. Exodus 2, 7 and 8.
Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from among the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid, the girl, the Ha'alma, the young maiden, went and called the child's mother.
Good. Miriam was Moses' older sister. Let's go to Psalm 68:25 in Hebrew. If you have a Hebrew Bible, it's chapter 68, verse 26. We're studying Alma, and we're looking at the reference, and this is the next reference listed. Danielle?
The singers went before. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were young women,
alamot,
beating tambourines.
Beautiful. Thank you, Danielle. In the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament by Harris, Archer, and Walkey on page 1630, they state, and I want you to get this here today, and we're going to continue on the same topic next week. So join us. Don't miss it. Since Betula is used many times in the Old Testament as a specific word for virgin, that's what they state. Since Betula is used many times in the Old Testament as a specific word for virgin, it seems reasonable to consider that the feminine form of this word is not a technical word for virgin, but represents a young woman. One of those characteristics is virginity. This is borne out by the fact that the Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, already completed during the reign of Ptolemy Philadelphus. He did it 3rd century B.C., 285 plus or minus B.C. This is borne out by the fact that the Septuagint translates the word alma, virgin, as parthenos, which means virgin, in two of its seven occurrences, and that its use in Isaiah 7:14 was quoted to Joseph by the angel as a prediction of the virgin birth. That's something I don't want you to miss. Let's review that. Betula is used many times as a specific word for virgin. However, remember that the Septuagint translates this word in Isaiah 7:14, alma, as parthenos, P-A-R-T-H-E-N-O-S, parthenos, P-A-R-T-H-E-N-O-S, for virgin. That's what it translates. Parthenos means virgin in Greek. So when the Jewish sages looked at it and they saw this word alma for virgin, they said, there it is, parthenos. It must mean virgin, not merely young maiden. but a young maiden who's a virgin. Amen. Till next time, we'll develop it further. This has been Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory.